We are back, 95.5 KLOS. Chris Carter hanging out with you. On the line, a man who you've read his work over the years in Cream Magazine, Rolling Stone, Playboy, Mr. Rock and Roll Confidential, the great Dave Marsh. Dave, how are you today?
Hey, Chris. Nice to be here.
Hey, thanks for coming on a Sunday morning. So there's a new series of books out. I guess it's called the Rock of Ages series, and they're tackling different albums. And you, Dave Marsh, have decided to write about the Beatles' second album, of all things. Tell me why the Beatles' second album, Dave.
Oh, you know, because of Everything It Is, which is the one that's closest to my heart, because it's their Motown album, and because of Everything It Isn't. It's not a record they put together. It's a record Capitol put together. It's not a record put together even by someone who liked them. In fact, it was put together by someone who hated them, and that's called the story.
You start off the book by saying you can recite the case for the prosecution, and you lay it out. It's a 22-minute album put together by Dave Dexter Jr., who basically hated rock and roll. Tell me about that, the case for the prosecution.
The Beatles and John Lennon in particular.
So, of course, he's the man in control of the Beatles from 1963 to 1966 at Capitol.
Well, he's in control of putting out, of selecting tracks for their American releases, which are 11 tracks instead of the 14 they have in Britain. They're always going back, and sometimes they're moving forward through stuff that's already over there. You know, it's a lot of singles that didn't come out in Britain on album. You know, it's not a nightmare, but it's really weird. And the soundscape is really weird. He, whatever Capitol did, you know, they had their weird duophonic fake stereo, and they had just strange mastering ideas.
Right. We all know when we listen to I Feel Fine and She's a Woman, the most egregious of all the duophonic mixes. It sounds like it's coming out of a tin can.
Yeah, I mean, Beatles 65 probably would be the runner-up for me to write about, but I know what you mean.
It's an interesting combination of songs found on the Beatles' second album, as you mentioned. You know, it's kind of an R&B soul album, no show tunes, a lot of covers. Just tell me about the energy that's packed in to those two sides in 22 minutes.
Well, you know, it's become like, now it's just like the CD in my head, so it's just like 22 minutes of energy nonstop, which is really wild, you know. But what you would think that you would do with that record is you've got Money there, which is sort of the at the very least, the moral equivalent of Twist and Shout, right? So you would think, well, that's the climactic song of at least the first side, because you got She Loves You there, which pretty much has to end the record, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, Money just kind of gets shoved in somewhere. I think the first side end with something.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do that, right. But what happens on this record is there is a lot of cover stuff, and so you get a feeling for where they're coming from, which I was 14 in 1964 and already an R&B fan. It was very, very important to know, for me, to know that they were rock and roll and R&B loyalists. Not purists, but loyalists. And it also has what I think is the most perfect rock and roll single that they ever made, which is She Loves You.
Closing the album, closing side two.
Well, you know, I mean, would you want to try to follow She Loves You?
No, I don't think you can, right?
It was like, you know, if you're going to put it on an album, it's going to go last. It's either going to go first and set everything up, or it's going to go last. But one way or another, it's going to be a downhill slide after it.
After that.
Because to me, that is where, you know, I always come back when I think about the Beatles to that thing that Ringo says very late in the anthology film, that in the end it's a story about four people who loved one another. And man, on a lot of these tracks, you know, on I Call Your Name, which is sort of, to me, the beginning of John's songs where he really deals with that emptiness in his heart from, I guess, from his mom dying, or you can just feel the rest of the band holding him up. But in She Loves You, they're strong enough to hold up the whole world that hears him. That's where that love comes tumbling out for each of us. I mean, it did in a lot of records, but to me, it's just so consummately great.
Is this your favorite era, Dave?
Early and late. In other words, really, if I went through the catalog, probably my second favorite album is Abbey Road.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that, you know, it's early and late. Nobody ever made music that's more alive, exciting. In its own way, it's terribly sophisticated. You know, I was talking to Roger McGuinn last year and said something about this, and he said, obviously, I Want to Hold Your Hand changed his life, right?
Right.
And Roger said, well, and I said this thing that I always say about, you know, they didn't get better after the early singles, particularly She Loves You, because there isn't any better to get. And Roger said, well, exactly, but they did get more complicated. That's a reason to pay special attention to the early stuff, because the early stuff is the rock-solid foundation on which everything else is made possible.
Excellent job, Dave, and really great choice. I'm really glad you did it. You packed 22 minutes of music into a nice book.
All right.
Dave Marsh, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
Let's go to side one right now. The Beatles' second album right here, 95.5 KLOS.